Are vegans actually unhealthy?
Does cannabis ruin your sleep?
And why are so many men taking testosterone supplements? I'm Mitch.
And I'm Greg.
And we're the creators of the popular YouTube channel ASAP Science.
Every week on our podcast Side Note by ASAP Science, we explain the science behind a controversial subject with recent research, up-to-date studies, and ridiculous stories so you are entertained while, bam, simultaneously learning.
We're here to make science make sense.
Download Side Note by ASAP Science wherever you get your podcasts.
All this week ahead of International Women's Day, we've been telling stories of powerful women and discussing issues of sexism and equality. Now, there's one word that you may have heard come up a few times: badass. Today's guest is absolutely that. At just 24, Gemma Sheehan is a former MMA fighter. During her career, she was ranked number one female fighter in Ontario, and she's a 2016 Pan Am gold medalist. She had to end her career because of injuries, but now she's a teacher, the founder of Girls Who Fight. There is so much in the world constantly telling young girls to stay quiet, be pretty, but please don't speak your mind. Gemma helps girls build not only physical strength, but mental strength as well, to turn that unhealthy way of thinking around. She helps build the assertiveness that most girls, especially teenagers, just don't have. I'm Claire Broussard, producer of this podcast, The Big Story. So Gemma, thank you for joining us.
It's so great to be here. Thank you for having me.
So we're going to talk all about your program and what you teach, but I first want to start at the beginning with you. When did you first hear about MMA, and when did you realize that it was what you really wanted to do?
When I was a kid, I always had like this feeling I was just going to be an amazing fighter for some reason. Like,
interesting.
Watching, I never did fighting when I was a kid. But every time I'd see those kind of female warrior movies, like Elektra or different things like that, I was always like, oh yeah, I could do that. I'd be so sick at that. But I always did dance and gymnastics and lots of other things, but I was never that like special at it. Like I wasn't really ever at the top of the group or the room at those sports or arts. And then when I was 13, I moved in with my mom. And she lived right across the street from an MMA kickboxing gym. And I was like, I'll try it out. And I tried it out. The first year, I just did it for like an exercise. And then when I started feeling like I was actually doing okay at it, and everyone else seemed to be of that belief as well, like always really encouraging. And the thing that starts happening is, when you start training and you're coming often, the next question people ask is, oh, well, when are you fighting? Like, when's your first fight? When are you going to fight? And it's like, I guess whenever you think I should fight. I don't know, because you're like a young kid. But I would say around 15, 16, I started thinking like, well, this is what I actually could do. Like the women had just been like allowed to fight in the UFC. And a lot of the women fighters like Ronda Rousey and Miesha Tate, they were like superstars at that time.
Right.
And it was very easy for me to see a path for myself to get there.
It's interesting that you mentioned women superstars like Ronda Rousey, because it is true that women seem to be marketed so differently in fighting than other sports. As a young girl, is that the kind of celebrity status that you were after?
Yeah, well, it seemed awesome to me at the time. And I did feel like once I started doing it a lot and started competing, I was usually winning most of the things I did. So it was kind of the effect of when you do something you're good at, it reinforces that you like it.
Right.
And so it doesn't, not that I was never a kid where I was like, I really just want to like smash someone in the face.
You're a violent kid.
No. But it was more like, this is a sport where I'm going and competing, and it's really tough. It's super difficult.
Yeah.
I have to work really hard. But when I go and compete, I'm winning. Like I'm coming out at the top of the brackets or winning my fights. And it's not all win. Like I haven't won everything I've ever done. There's like lots of loss involved as well. But it's something that you kind of get a bit addicted to.
So obviously in fighting, there are a lot of risks, and we've all seen them. And you yourself, you had to end your fighting career because of physical injuries.
Yeah. I don't know exactly what, I'm sure I've had a couple concussions, but it was actually, I had an MRI after my first kickboxing fight back in, how old was I? I was like 16 or 17. And after that MRI, they said, you have some irregular, there's something like irregular something's in your brain. Right. Something, there's something there, but it's probably not much, so don't worry about it. And then I had another one, a follow-up. They said, we'll follow up in 2 years. And then I had a third one. And then they called me and they're like, okay, we should talk about this. And they said that I had something called white hyperintensities, which I didn't know what they were, but they're spots in your brain that basically you don't see in people until they're very old. Like that you see it in elderly people.
And you were like, what, 19?
Well, actually, when they first saw it, I was 17.
Wow.
Whenever I got my first MRI. Luckily, it hadn't grown. But they thought that because there's a chance, they said that I could have just been born with it. But they said, given the fact that you fight people and you get fought for your career, basically, it's very likely that this is trauma induced. And they said that most likely you wouldn't even pass the UFC, like the health. They do brain scans on you when they fight because they don't want to let people fight who is very dangerous for them. And they were like, you probably won't pass because these show up on a brain scan. It came at a time when I also started thinking about what I value in life mostly. And I really asked myself the question, why do I really want to be a UFC fighter? Like, what's the why? And my coach asked me that too. And I was like, huh, I guess it really comes down to me wanting to be like famous and cool and rich. And because that's what you think you want when you're a 14-year-old kid and you start training and people are like, oh, you could fight. You know, you could go like, you could be a pro athlete. And you're like, oh yeah, I guess that would be awesome. And then I started thinking about what my values are now. And at the end of my life specifically, if I look back, what are the things that I'm going to wish that I did? And it didn't really line up actually much anymore. And I think that's what made it easier for me to accept is that I don't think that my life actually would have been that fulfilling if I just dedicated it to training and fighting. And I think that came with me valuing more things that I do that affect other people. And I don't think fighting people, like people would just say, oh, you're so inspiring. It's like, you're so inspiring to young girls and stuff. And that's great. But if I'm only inspiring them to be a UFC fighter, after all the damage that I've seen my friends go through and myself, I don't even know if I would say I would want to inspire them to go and try to be an MMA fighter. I want to inspire them to be, to know that they could do things that they want, no matter what it is in general. So even if the road is very difficult, I want to be able to inspire them to think, you know what, I could do that if I work hard. It's not going to be easy, but I could do it. When I started thinking about what else I could do and I thought about this whole Girls Who Fight company, it seemed like that was so much more in line with actually making a difference, whether even if it's on a small scale of working with individuals. It doesn't have to be like a universal change in the world, but I do feel like I'm making way more of a positive impact than I was when I was just fighting and people could see me winning or losing and whatever.
So tell me about Girls Who Fight.
So after that, I was like, oh, what am I going to do now? Like, I did my university degree. I wasn't really sure. I never went to school thinking I was going to need it. I was like, I'm going to be a UFC fighter for show. I don't need this. But I still did it. I still got good grades. And anyways, after that, I was like, you know, there's not really great places for girls, specifically younger. Like women, they are more comfortable going to these MMA gyms. But for girls, not so much. And I think that there's a lot of more women and girls who are interested in learning than I've seen before. I've seen an increase for sure. And I think that has to do with a couple things. One being, it's almost like cooler now for girls. Like they can see, for instance, again, Ronda Rousey was a superstar, not just in MMA, in the world. Like, like she was on the cover of Sports Illustrated, and girls that had no idea what MMA was now know that they should look up to Ronda Rousey. And also just in the media and in movies and everything, there's a huge focus on independent, strong women, badass characters. That kind of like, there's way more female superheroes. And I think that makes girls think more like, oh, so fighting is cool for girls. Yeah. That's cool. And the other reason I think is specifically for parents who are signing up their kids, which is like 90% of my market, there's so much. I had no idea how bad bullying was going on in schools. Like, I obviously have always known bullying was a thing. I was lucky to go to an art school. I was in like drama focus. and it was very open. And there wasn't a lot of stuff like that. And I didn't experience a lot myself. But every time I work with girls in my programs, I am blown away at how much bullying and crazy, crazy things that these girls face at school, both online and actually in person. Like the last teen girl workshop I had, which is where I do a 1-day workshop once a month with just teens. Mm-hmm. So we focus on self-defense basics, but also we have a discussion that's tailored to teens about the kind of safety information that they need to know. That has to do with social media safety, party safety, situational awareness, how to speak assertively, things like that. And one girl was like, yeah, last month, like 12, 17-year-olds, she was 14, cornered me in a Tim Hortons, punched me in the face, broke my phone, and stole my backpack.
Oh my gosh.
And she barely even knew them. And I don't know why, like, I didn't get into it too much with her. We talked a little bit, but that's probably the worst one I've heard. But I've heard, like, in every teen girl workshop, there's at least one girl in the school, in the group, who knows someone personally that has been severely impacted by online targeted bullying towards them or physical. And these are things that when you hear about it in the news, it seems kind of distanced.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, that happened at that one school. But for me now, I'm talking to these girls every month, multiple times in big groups. And now I'm hearing this stuff all the time. So I've been like really awakened that it actually is huge. It's happening at every school, whether they're private schools or they're public schools, whether all girls schools, co-ed schools. And a lot of times it's the girls who are doing the severe bullying to the other girls.
Well, tell me how your classes teach girls to better deal with those kinds of situations, other than like the obvious of being able to physically fight someone off.
What I hear when people contact me about what they want from the course is that girls are so not assertive. And that is something that I think is a huge problem. A lot of time what I hear from parents is, my daughter is so shy. She doesn't speak up for what she wants. She's not confident when she meets people. She doesn't use her voice properly. Like, what can you do? And while we're learning MMA the whole time and we're learning all these great techniques that are great for self-defense, I think assertiveness training is if not just as important to what I'm trying to do with these girls, to get them out of their little passive shy shell. And I think that's probably the biggest benefit that the girls could get out of working with me, because there's a huge difference I see between girls and boys at that age in terms of assertiveness and passiveness.
For sure.
And assertiveness is one of those things that self-defense wise, like if someone tries to make you uncomfortable and right away you're like, hey, stop what you're doing. I know what you're doing and I'm not going to put up with it. I'm going to tell this person, or like, I'm going to basically make it hard for you. I'm going to fight back. This isn't going to be easy. I will make a scene. If you're willing to say those kinds of things, you're going to be way better off than the girls that their go-to is just to be quiet, mm-hmm. not make a scene, not make that person uncomfortable, not offend them. And that is the majority of what girls do in those situations. But also for life success, like assertiveness, if you can't be comfortable asking for what you want and speaking in a tone that shows that you're serious, that you're confident in yourself, that you value your own presence in the room, if you don't have those kinds of things, you're not going to achieve as much as you would like to, and you're not going to be able to get the things that you really want.
So you mainly teach girls, but you've also taught boys. What kind of differences do you see between boys and girls?
So the kinds of things I see with girls is, when we get into the room, they say we're going to do a warm-up, and I'll show them the warm-up and I'll be like, okay, go. And the girls will all look at each other and be like, do you want to go? Should I go? Oh, no, it's okay. Whatever you want. Are you sure? No, I don't mind. I don't mind. You can go. Like, they look around and they don't want to be the first to the plate.
Yeah.
Even if they want to. Guys, on the other hand, I'll show them the warm-up. They will just start doing it, and they will try to rush to the front of the line. They're not being passive and yielding to see if everybody else wants to go ahead of them, which is every time I see with the girls.
Do you think that's because girls are expected to be, you know, calm and boys are expected to be rough?
I don't know how much it is expectations of society. I'm sure that plays a role. But from what I could see in the media and what's going on with this whole women's empowerment, like, women's empowerment is basically a core goal of almost every company nowadays. Like, you see it everywhere. Everyone's trying to signal how they are on the side of women's empowerment. It's like a buzzword now. And I think that there's so much encouragement going on that people are trying to give girls to be these things, yet you still don't really see it that much. Mm-hmm. And it's still a big problem with girls, especially once they get older. I find with kids, they are way more likely to, when they get to the room and I say, we sit in a circle. It's another example. Okay, say your name, something you want to learn from this program, and what you want to be when you grow up, just as an icebreaker. The girls will be so quiet. Oh, well, when they're kids, they'll be way more, they'll actually be louder. So take before high school.
Right.
That's when girls, I feel like they haven't really been socialized yet to be just so scared to stand out and scared of what everybody thinks of them and to only care about being accepted. And so if a couple 11-year-olds, 8-year-olds, they'll be like, I'm Jenny and I want to be an astronaut and I want to learn how to kick. But then I'll ask like a 14-year-old and I'm Angelica. I don't really know what I want to learn. I don't really know what I want to be. They're not decisive. They're almost scared. It seems to me like they're very scared to stand out. I think assertiveness should be at the forefront of any kind of women's empowerment program, because if you don't know how to ask for what you want, you're not going to be that empowered. Whether you say, oh, I'm practicing self-love, or I'm whatever some of the other buzzwords that I can see going around.
Yeah.
There's still a huge problem of these girls. They might still be wearing these female empowerment t-shirts and all these clothing, but they still get to my course and they're still like, I'll ask a question. And before they put up their hand, they'll look around the room to see what everyone else thinks.
Yeah. So, okay. Walk me through some of the exercises that you do to teach assertiveness.
Other than the fact that we're literally fighting, which I think is a good thing for that, we do actually practice how to be assertive with your voice. So we do, like, we'll stand in the circle and I'll like force them pretty much. And I say force because it's very hard for most of them to do. And it seems kind of like, it might seem like a silly, trivial game. And we have fun with it, but it is
out of their comfort
zone. It is super out of their comfort zone. They'll have to look at somebody in the eye without fidgeting, without covering their arms in front of their chest or like hunching their back. They'll have to stand properly with posture and head up and look someone in the eye and say in an assertive voice, leave me alone or stay away from me or whatever the phrases we're working with. It's not as much about the words, but getting them used to being able to speak in a serious tone that shows that they mean what they're talking about, not this kind of, oh, bubbly up and down and whatever you want, because I don't want you to be not liked, or I don't want to be not liked. Right. And I hear, because I often ask these girls, because I'm trying to learn too, like what is going on and what matters to these girls.
And they absolutely need role models like you. That's so important at that age. So when I was a kid, my mom made me take karate for a little bit and I was so not into it. I was like a straight up drama kid and like never did sports. But she made me do it and I didn't fall in love with it or anything. I think I like got my yellow belt and called it a day. But I remember actually being surprised that I had some strength.
Oh, yeah.
And I had a little streak of competitiveness.
Oh, good.
And and I remember thinking, like, I'm not terrible at this. I wonder if you come across that in the girls you teach, that kind of transformation once they, I guess, tap into that strength.
Yeah. Oh, all the time. And for many different reasons. In the last course I had, there was a dad. This is a little bit different, but again, teen girl. He said she thinks she's too cool for all these kind of things. And she came. And then again, she was too, so standoffish and so like too cool for school at first. But then she, when she started doing the techniques, she realized, okay, this isn't just like a bunch of BS. And it can be really fun. In other senses, with the younger girls, or sometimes with the teen girls as well, parents will tell me ahead of time, they don't think it's for them. They don't really want to do it, but I'm making them do it. And I say, okay, good. It's good you're making them do it, because they're going to have a great time, which they always do. But to answer your question, there have been girls that are, most girls start out extremely shy, like I said. But I think because of the nature, also, like I said, about what we do, it's very physical. And because of the way I lead the class, it can seem like rough at first, but all of these girls rise to it. What's normally expected of them is for them to be however they want to be. And that's, I think, is a controversial statement, because there's this whole thing where it's like, you're perfect the way you are. You're just fine the way you are. You don't have to change. You don't even have to improve. To me, I think that that's not very helpful to girls, because you're a kid. Of course, there's so many ways you could improve.
Yeah.
There's so many ways I could improve.
Yeah.
I'm constantly trying to improve myself. What good is it if you're telling 11, 12-year-old girls that they're perfect and they don't need to improve or change anything. If these girls are, you could tell that they have issues with assertiveness. You could tell they have self-esteem issues. If you just tell them that they're perfect, that's not going to help them. I think girls are strong and you don't have to treat them like they're babies.
You did dance and you did gymnastics, which are typically considered girl sports.
Yeah.
And then you went to MMA. What would you say to parents of little girls who are doing gymnastics and dance and they want to go into MMA and their parents say, no, you're going to stay in dance and gymnastics because that's where you belong. What would you say to those parents?
I do feel most parents are supportive of it. Of course, there's probably tons that aren't. Mm-hmm. So if I am speaking to those parents, it's a biased opinion, but nonetheless, it is my opinion that martial arts, first of all, gymnastics and dance are fantastic bases for martial arts in general. If they went and started training, they would pick it up extremely quickly. Martial arts provides specifically for the assertiveness. If you want your daughter to be someone that is that kind of person that says no when they want to say no, that speaks up for what they want, that is assertive, that can be serious, that can be competitive and even aggressive when they need to, I don't think dance is going to do the job as much as martial arts. And the reason those things are important are very clear in terms of life success, but also specifically, there's a lot of bullying going on right now, like I addressed. Girls should be able to say no and stand up for themselves. Martial arts is, I think, uniquely qualified. It's superior to a lot of other things for girls and for boys for one reason, just because it's really like not easy to do.
Yeah.
Like it is actually really, really rough. The confidence that has with you and also the confidence in your body, like you're using your body for a sport. You're learning not to just look at your body as something that other people look at and judge on Instagram. You're actually learning that, oh, my body can actually pick up people over my shoulders and put them into a position on the ground where I'm like controlling them, or it can like kick really hard. It can do these things that has a function.
Yeah.
That's really cool. And I found that with my own like self-esteem body issues when I was in high school, they really started disappearing when I started training. One, because I was in general getting a lot more fit because of the nature of the sport, but also because I wasn't looking at my body as much as am I like skinny? Do I look good in these like clothes? I was looking at it as, is it good for the sport? How can I get stronger for the sport? Okay, I have to like do this kind of workout. I have to get better at endurance. And that's a healthier way to look at fitness, I think, and body image.
Thank you, Gemma.
You're welcome. Thank you so much.
Gemma Sheehan, former MMA fighter, founder of Girls Who Fight. Did I mention she's only 24? You can get more info about Gemma and the classes that she offers at girlswhofight.ca. For more from us, visit us online at thebigstorypodcast.ca. We are also on Twitter at thebigstoryfpn and at frequencypods. And we are, of course, wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Claire Broussard. Thanks for listening.